You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. Ollie Pimlott, Craig Forsyth and Will Haler, the team in the studio. Great car to look forward to at Ascot, the final Grade 1 before Christmas. It's the Rev de Civilla Long Walk Hurdle. We also have listed in Grade 3 action on that card as well. There's the Tommy Whittle Handicap Chase over at Haydock, jumping from Newcastle and all-weather racing at Lingfield, including a listed race on the all-weather as well in the shape of the Quebec Stakes. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is Andrew Mounts. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Very good, thank you.
Looking forward to Christmas?
I will be when I'm ready. I've still got lots of shopping to do. So.
Well, it's only the 22nd December, so most people don't start till Christmas Eve. You'll be fine.
That's the plan. Christmas Eve, get it all boxed off. But I'm a little bit worried. I've bought very little things, and I don't know what to buy some people, so that's Christmas.
All right. You got me anything yet? That's the important one. Just
I don't want to ruin the surprise. Okay. You'll have to wait and see what Santa brings. Good thing about Christmas is, though, once all that's out of the way and you've done all the presents and the hard bit, you then got superb racing to look forward to afterwards. King George Day at Kempton, 3 Grade 1s on that card, superb stuff to look forward to there. And then you've got Leopardstown over in Ireland, you've got the Welsh Champion Hurdle as well at Chepstow, so real good time of year for a racing fan.
That's right, and a good day to get out of the house as well and go racing, and after sitting in front of the telly stuffing yourself with turkey.
Yeah.
It's nice to get out and get some fresh air on Boxing Day.
Try and walk off some of that turkey. We'll have a look ahead to some of the stuff coming up over Christmas in a moment or two. But before we do, just a few little bits of news that we need to tidy up, I suppose. Hughie Morrison escaping a ban, and he's been fined £1,000 for the anabolic steroid case. Any opinion on that?
Yeah, it's a strange one. It's not one I've been following closely. I was reading the Racing Post this morning, and they'd tried to bring in another trainer, hadn't they? Imogen Picard, and implicate her in it. So, an odd one, but... he seems to be quite happy with the result, I think.
Well, yeah, it could have been career-ending, couldn't it? And he's escaped with no ban and £1,000 fine, so I'm sure he'll be happy with the result there. But, yeah, that was a bit of news that we just needed to get out of the way, first of all. We can also take a little bit of a look back at some of the action that took place on Friday as well, mainly in the shape of Clemente and Forgan, is what I want to get your opinions on. Won the Supreme trial on the card at Ascot, and I'll just get the betting up. I believe he's now gone single figures in the market for the Supreme. Yeah, 8-1 second favourite now.
Yeah, this was a great race. We were talking about this beforehand, saying probably didn't deserve to be called a trial, because in its own right, this Grade 2 contest was a very strong event. I took on the favourite here incorrectly, thinking that there might be others at bigger prices that would give him some trouble. I was particularly interested in Cool Blimey, but that one jumped out to his left in the early stages and had nothing left at the finish. But Clemente and Forgan, off a strong pace, travelled well, and came home just over 2 lengths clear of the front-running Dr. Dez. Very nice performance, and certainly wouldn't put you off if you think you're backing him for the Supreme.
Mm. Yeah, he's stated some strong claims there for the Supreme. I did have the betting up, but I don't know where I put it.
one of the interesting aspects of the race was the disappointing run from Mr. One More for Harry Fry.
Yeah.
Previously unbeaten, came home last of the 6 runners. And a worry for backers of You Know What I Mean, Harry, in the Long Walk Hurdle at Ascot on Saturday, as that's not the first horse from the Fry yard to run badly. He's had quite a few beaten at short prices recently, 8-15 at Exeter yesterday, 4-5 at Tenubri in the shape of Melrose Boy, and 5-4, what's his name, was only 4th of 5, beaten 17 lengths at Cheltenham the other day.
Yeah, a bit of a concern about the yard form there for Harry Fry. Betting in full for the Supreme, by the way. Well, not in full. I can't go through them all, but Mengli Khan is the 5-1 favourite. 8-1 for Clemente and Forgan. Sam Crow 10, 16's Apple, Shakira, Debouché, and Getterbird also 16-1 with Pim and Real Steel. And then 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. That's as it stands at the moment. Also want to get your thoughts on the Noel Novices chase. Won by Benatar, beating Finian's Oscar by a short head.
Yeah, this was an absolutely cracking finish. Finian Zosko found 2 miles too sharp last time out at Sandown in the Henry VIII Novices Chase. After that race, Colin Tizard said he was going to step him up to 3 miles next time. So it was a slight surprise to see him here over 2.5 at Ascot in a small field. Dolos jumped well in the lead, set a respectable pace. Finian Zosko looked like he was going to try and take that one on in the early stages, then just did sit back. But jumped much better than he had done at Sandown, clearly suited by the longer trip. But it was Benatar who sat in third place for much of the race, who came through and threw it down to Finian Zosko in the closing stages, and I should say prevailed narrowly. Finian Zosko seemed to be coming back at the line, leaving the firm impression that 3 miles plus was needed next time, and I doubt we'll be seeing him over this sort of trip in the future.
Yep.
So I certainly wouldn't give up on Finian Zosko. I mean, he won his first two chase starts over 2.5 miles, despite not jumping particularly well, 2 miles too sharp at Sandown last time, and here again, perhaps it wasn't a sufficient enough test of stamina. So if you're holding anti-post vouchers about him for the RSA chase, don't throw them away just yet.
Yeah, still looks a live chance in that. Anything else stand out to you on Friday before we move on?
Clondall Native, I thought, showed a really good attitude when winning the opening maiden hurdle for Stuart Edmonds. Looked to be one of the first in trouble, being niggled along from a long way out, but prevailed to win by a neck from Setty Hill. That was his first win under rules for this point-to-point winner. So another one who's likely to improve as he goes up in trip.
Okay, let's move on. Christmas, on the back of Christmas, as we mentioned, we've got some real good racing. Said we'd have a look ahead to some of that. So the King George VI Chase feature race on Boxing Day at Kempton. Mike Bite 6-5 at the top of the betting. Bristol May 7-2, 11-2 Thistlecrack. Fox Norton 6-1. Whisper is 7-1 and 18s or bigger for the others. Any real opinion change over the last week or so in the King George?
No, I think Mike Bite's going to take all the beating here. As it's often been discussed, he would have won the Quarto Star Novices Chase by a big margin last year had he stood up, but he fell handing the race to Royal Vacation on a plate. And the sectional time boys were salivating because they were saying had he run in the King George that year and stood up, he would have won it quite easily. Such was the time he was in the process of running before tipping up. 6-4, although 6-5, sorry, is probably a respectable price. I can see him going off odds on the day, but I'll be looking to play each way on T2, the Nick Williams runner. This one was well beaten behind Bristol De May in Haydock last time, but got bogged down in the heavy ground. Has won left-handed at Aintree in Grade One Company, no less, last season, but is much better suited by right-handed tracks. 4 runs at Kempton, 3 wins, and a close-up finish in the King George last year when I felt he should have been second to Thistlecrack. He'll be suited by going this way round. The likely better ground will suit as well. And at 18-1, each way, 3 places, T2's got to be the one for me.
T2 then for Andrew in the King George. Plenty of good stuff on Boxing Day on the 27th and such. Any other races or any of the horses you're really looking forward to seeing post-Christmas?
Well, I will throw in one at a much lower level. It's a horse called Sunny Legend who ran today at Uttoxeter. This is a horse who's got a fantastic record in January and February. Tends to come good after he's had a couple of runs. Pulled up on his reappearance today at Uttoxeter. Travelled pretty well at the head of affairs. 20-1, finishing third. Now, last season, he won, after a couple of pipe openers. So look out for Sunny Legend at a low level, a 12-year-old trained by Andrew J. Martin.
When you talk about horses to follow, you don't normally talk about 12-year-olds.
Well, this is the kind of horse will go under the radar. I mean,
yeah.
You look at his wins. He's won 6 times previously, 6th of January, 26th of February, 4th of Jan, 7th of Jan, 22nd of Jan, the 28th of Feb. So as soon as the new year comes around, this is when he thrives. Very similar to a horse called the Leader, who always used to win at Folkestone in January, or a horse called the Sawyer, who was another sort of January man. So yeah, put Sunny Legend in your trackers, and as soon as the New Year festivities are out of the way, start backing him.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get stuck into Saturday's racing then, final day of racing before Christmas, and we're going to look at some of the best races at Ascot and the Tommy Whittle at Haydock as well. We'll have a quick look ahead to that one. The first race that we're going to look at here is the 225 at Ascot, the horse named in honour of Rev de Civilla, who Andrew had a stake in as well, so bit relevant.
Absolutely.
3 miles, Grade One. Anybody who hasn't listened yet, there is a piece on audioboom.com on the William Hill Racing pages there with Andrew talking about the race being named after Rev de Civilla and his thoughts for this year. Anybody who hasn't heard that, just quick thoughts on this year's renewal?
I want to take on You Know What I Mean, Harry, because as we've mentioned previously in this podcast, Harry Fry's not been in the greatest of form of late, had quite a few beaten at short odds. So although I'm a big fan of this horse, I'll take him on at relatively short odds. Not sure what price we are now, 7-4 at the time of this recording this podcast. Lil Rockefeller, second in the race last year behind You Know What I Mean, Harry, was a winner here at Ascot last time out. Loves this track, has always run well here, so I certainly wouldn't put you off backing that one each way at 4-1. Sam Spinner is another one with each-way prospects. Never finished worse than second. Is stepping up from Handicap Company, though, and only one winner of the Long Walk has done that in the last 20-odd years. That was Punchestown, and that was going back a while. So, and I might even throw through a few quid at Agripart for Nick Williams. Always goes well third time out. Has had a couple of runs over in France this autumn. So expect Agripart to improve on what he's shown so far this season. But it's probably going to be, Lil Rockefeller each way would be the main pick, and maybe just a couple of quid on Agripart.
92 for Lil Rockefeller, and Agripart is 33-1 in the betting. As I say, if you haven't listened to Andrew's piece on the website there as well, do check that out on Rev de Civilla. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot next. This is the Silver Cup Handicap Chase, a listed race of the extended 2 miles and 7. We've got 14 of them set to go to post. And at the time of recording this, single farm payment is at the top of the betting at 7-2. 11-2 Go Conquer. Gold Present, or Gold Present, is 7-1. 9-1 for 007. On Tour is 9s as well. 10-1 Regal Encore and Walk in the Mill. And 12-1 or bigger prices for the remainder.
Yeah, this is a cracking renewal. We've had a real mixed bag in this race in recent years. We had a few favourites, including the Young Master in 2014. Houblon des Oboes for Venetia Williams was 6-4 favourite when winning this the year before. But we've also had shocks. Niche Market at 33-1 in 2008. And last year, Regal Encore was a 20-1 shot for when scoring for Anthony Honeyball. And I'm going to go with that one to follow up his win. Now, he always needs his first run of the season, sometimes his second. He was only 12th here at Ascot behind Go Conquer on his reappearance, but took a massive step forward when a 66-1 third in the Hennessy next time out. So back at Ascot, so a track where he runs well. He's up in the weights this time around, but third time out is often when to catch this one. So Regal Encore at 14-1 would appeal here.
Yeah, any horse that finishes third in a Hennessy is usually doing pretty well, aren't they?
So. Oh, sorry, 10-1, not 14-1, I beg your pardon. Single far payment, I mean, you can imagine him hacking up in this race. He travels strongly. He was still in contention in the Hennessy, although it's been pushed along when falling. But you just wonder whether his price is going to be too short, given his profile. I mean, he's only won once from his last... from 7 starts since joining Tom George. You just wonder if he's going to be a nearly horse.
Yeah, he always goes off a little bit shorter than he probably should. Although he's got the ability, hasn't he?
That's right.
He never quite seems to fall right for him.
Yeah, and Go Conquer would perhaps be the main danger. Trained by John Joe O'Neill. So he won here over course and distance last time out by 4.5 lengths when jumping well at the head of affairs. If he's allowed a soft lead again, then he could well follow up that win. But there's probably one or two more who are going to take him on here, and he might not have things all his own way.
So you're going with Regal Encore to win it for a second, yeah?
Regal Encore to follow up last year's victory.
The 3:35 at Ascot is the final race on the card there. It's a Grade 3 handicap hurdle. The extended 1 mile and 7 furlongs is the trip for this one. Silver Streak 9-2 at the top of the betting. Charlie Parks is 5-1. 15-2 Blue Air Rouge. 8-1 for Elgin. 8-1 for Dana Blue. 12-1 for Divin Bear and Air Horse 1. And 14-1. Or bigger prices for the others. There's been a little bit of a move on Silver Streak already here, Andrew. Is he one on the shot this year?
Yeah, that's my nap on Saturday. I really fancy this one. Trainer Evan Williams is in fantastic form. This is a horse that's often gone to a young horse. You look at the recent winners, they're all aged 4, 5, or 6. So I'd certainly be putting the stripe through the 7 or 8 year olds in this race and any older ones. I'd take on Air Horse 1 as well, trained by Harry Fry, who, as I've mentioned previously, is not in the best of form at the moment. So it all comes down to Silver Streak. It used to be with Anne Duffield on the flat. Switched to Evan Williams, has won 3 of his 4 starts for the yard. Now, the only defeat came at Ascot last April, but it wasn't a case of not handling the track. It was a case of that run coming too soon, only a month after his last outing. His 3 other runs and 3 wins for Evan Williams all came when fresh. He was a winner from Dolos at Chepstow in a limited handicap hurdle on his reappearance back in the middle of October. And the key here is freshness. He's been off the track for 10 weeks subsequently, and he'll be ripe and ready to do himself justice here.
Yeah, only 10 stone 5 and then Mitchell Bastion claiming 5 off as well. He's going to have a very good racing weight, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And a 9-2 shot now, and I can see him starting even shorter.
Where's the danger in there if you're going to have an each way stab at the race or something?
Possibly Divan Bear for Paul Nichols. First run for the yard having been with Nicky Henderson. And that would certainly be of interest.
OK, but the selection silver streak for Andrew there, and just dashing over to Haydock to have a quick look at the 2:45 there, which is the Tommy Whittle handicap chase. Extended 2 miles and three quarters, almost 2 miles and 7 furlongs. In fact, the distance for this full Irish is the 7-2 market leader, 4-1 for three faces west. In fact, make that 3-1 full Irish, shortened up from 7-2. 7-2, three faces west. Lakeview Lad is 11-2. Catamaran Desoy is 7-1. 15-2 Broadway Buffalo. 9-1 Victor Tuzan, and 10-1 our bigger prices for the others. Earth Moves, by the way, already a non-runner in that contest. What do you make of the Tommy Whittle?
Andy? Yeah, I'm keen on Lakeview Lad here for Nick Alexander. This one was plying his trade over much shorter trips, but he always ran well with a test of stamina. His first win came over 2 miles in heavy ground at Hexham in a bumper, and then 2.5 miles heavy ground at Ayr. Heavy ground again when winning at Wetherby in February of last year. And a stiff track or heavy ground was what was deemed ideal for him. This year he reappeared after an 11-month break over an inadequate 2 miles at Ayr. Ran a really good race to finish third, only beaten by 3 lengths, and then was stepped up to 3 miles for the first time at Newcastle on his most recent outing. And he won very well there by almost 3 lengths from Solomon Grundy when a 5-1 shot. There's going to be plenty more to come over this trip. And he's a 7-year-old, and like that handicap hurdle race we were discussing at Ascot, it's been an advantage. The young horses have enjoyed an advantage in this race, with all the recent winners in the last 10 years aged 6, 7 or 8. So I'd be against those 9 or older here, like Top Weight 3 Faces West, who's relatively prominent in the betting, and the 10-year-old No Planning for Sue Smith. So, Lakeview Lady to continue his progression, and there should be more to come now he's going for over 3 miles or thereabouts.
Lakeview Lad, then, the selection for Andrew in the Tommy Whittle handicap chase. That's the feature race at Haydock on Saturday. Of all of that, what will be the strongest opinion?
Silver Streak in the 3:35 at Ascot. The final race before Boxing Day.
Yes, very good. Well, in that case, thank you very much, Andrew. All the best with those selections. Enjoy Ascot on Saturday as well. I know you're going for the long walk hurdle there. And have a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, and to you, Mark. I'll look forward to receiving my gift.
Very good. That's Andrew Mount with his thoughts for Saturday's racing then. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. Ollie Pimlock, Craig Forsyth and Will Haler in the studio. Some real good stuff to look forward to. Heard the thoughts of Andrew there as well. You can also watch Sir Anthony McCoy's video previews on the website as well at williamhill.com. Check those out. He's gone through the best of the races for us as well. And make sure you join us on William Hill Racing Radio from 11:35. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.